Hi everybody, these are the worst date news ever. My name is Greg Knox. I hope everyone's having a great start to 2019. I am not joined by anyone on the show today because, well, it's for two reasons. One of which is that I'm house-sitting for my parents while they're on holiday, and I'm looking after my mum's cat, Ziggy, who may appear randomly at some point during the show, so yeah, there may be a cat interruption. Also, the film that I'm talking about on the episode today is kind of grim, and I didn't want to inflict it on anyone that I know. I wouldn't have thought it was more kind of their thing. So yeah, just me on the show today. If you haven't heard any of my previous episodes and you would like to, they are on iTunes, they're on YouTube, they're on Spotify, all the usual places, and you can subscribe, and then any future episodes that I do, they'll come to you straight away. You won't need to find them. The film that I am going to be talking about today is a film called Megan is Missing, which came out in 2011. It was directed by Michael Goy. Now, Michael Goy is mostly well known as a cinematographer in television. He was the cinematographer on American Horror Story, Glee, My Name is Earl, and The Mentalist. He has also been the cinematographer for the remake of The Town That Dreaded Sundown, which came out a few years ago, which was all right. It was kind of not exactly my cup of tea, but I thought, yeah, it was all right as far as remakes go. And also, quite interestingly, he was the president of the American Society of Cinematographers, the ASC, between 2009 and 2012. So that's obviously when this film would have come out in cinemas. And the film stars Amber Perkins as Amy, who is more of the main character, even though it's called Megan is Missing. And Megan herself is played by Rachel Quinn. Now, the story of Megan is Missing is Megan is 14, she is quite sexually active, she does drugs, she's a bit of a party girl, and her best friend is Amy, who is the complete opposite, which kind of makes you wonder why they're friends in the first place, but we'll go into that in a bit more detail later on. Megan basically meets a guy online called Josh, or Skater Dude, to give him his proper handle, and then she goes missing. And then Amy basically tries to find her, as do sort of the authorities and things like that. And that's basically the plot in a very, very succinct kind of nutshell type thing. So, what do I think of the film itself? Well, it's quite interesting. So, I'm recording this just after Christmas. And over Christmas, I watched a film called Eighth Grade, which is directed by Bo Burnham, which is a very, very good film, and I do highly recommend. Now, Elsie Fisher, who is the lead in Eighth Grade, she is the same age as the character in that film. So she is 14. However, I mean, I don't know the actual age of Rachel Quinn, but Amber Perkins, when this film was released in 2011, was 22 years old. Now, she does look younger than Rachel Quinn. So I think Rachel Quinn would be in her early 20s when this film came out. So you've got this weird kind of disconnect where basically what the film is it's about internet predators. So it's kind of warning parents about the dangers of their children going online, meeting strange men and being kind of abducted and killed as such. So that's what the film itself is about. Now, given what happens in the film, it would be very, very difficult to do that kind of film with of age kind of actors. But the problem you've got is that the characters in this film do not behave in any way like how they should do if they were actually that age. So one of the problems with the film, or at least the biggest problem to me, is that it all feels very unnatural and weird, particularly in like kind of the first 30 minutes. So if you were going to make a found footage film, which basically, I'm going to go into this in a minute, but for the type of film this is, if you're going to make like a found footage-y type film, what you have to do is you should really do the dialogue as kind of improvised. So how I would do it is I would say to the actors, okay, this is kind of what I want you to talk about. It's the same with wrestling promos. It's basically, here's bullet points. I need you to hit these particular points and basically come out and basically do this. And then you can kind of edit it together and make it look kind of natural. That at least sounds kind of realistic and natural. Whereas in this film, it all feels very, very, very stunted. There's one scene in particular which takes place about, I would say, 30 minutes into the film, where Megan is talking to Josh, in inverted commas, who's this guy who she meets online, and she's meant to be angry with him because he stood her up at a party. And in no way do I feel that this character is angry in any way at all. It's just really, really, I don't know, it just feels very, very fake and non-realistic. And that kind of really hurts the film. So a film that I would kind of compare this to, although then really like leagues apart in terms of quality, is like Martyrs, because essentially Martyrs is about these two best friends who they go off to this house and bad things happen. But because they've been friends for so long, one of them, even though she's not really directly involved in kind of what's going on, she's only there for her friend, their bond is that strong that kind of like everything that happens, you do feel really sorry for her. Whereas in this, one of the biggest issues anyway is that the two main characters don't feel as if they're friends, because in the story of the film they shouldn't be friends at all. It never really makes sense, because Megan is kind of this very popular girl, she's got lots of other friends, you know, she sucks a lot of guys' dicks, at least based on kind of what happens in the film and kind of what she talks about. She does drugs. Whereas Amy is this very kind of virginal, kind of pure girl. Both her parents are together and her parents are quite well off because they can afford to buy her this expensive video camera for her birthday and stuff like that. And she's very shy and she's got very, I mean, they both have low self-esteem, but she has quite low self-esteem and stuff like that. So it doesn't really make sense that they would be friends. And they don't even really justify it in the film. Like, so I think at one point, one of the characters in the film asks Megan, like, oh, why are you friends with Amy? It's like, well, we just are. It just doesn't make any sense. I think what it's supposed to be is that Amy's the only one who kind of listens to Megan and kind of will listen to her because her life's really hard. She's basically got a single parent who's a mother, who's a bit of a bitch to her, really. Possibly they argue a lot. It's unclear why. I'll go into this in later, but there's sort of sexual abuse in the family and stuff like that. So yeah, it just doesn't really make sense why Amy and Megan would be friends in the first place, which is a problem. Now, what's also a problem is this came out in 2011. It's one of the first films that I'm aware of where the idea is that you've got footage that's recorded on webcams and stuff like that, and it's been edited together to tell a story. It's very, very, I wouldn't say amateurish. I think amateurish is kind of a bit harsh, but it's quite crude, and it does come across quite badly in comparison to something like Unfriended, or, you know, worse, Searching, which came out last year and is a really, really good film, where you've got webcam footage that people are meant to have shot on their phones, just all this footage and stuff kind of mixed together. It just really, really, yeah, it just doesn't come across as well. Comes across as very kind of lo-fi, because I imagine the budget on this film wasn't very high at all, which, I mean, I'm quite forgiving of stuff like that. It's the same with music. I think you don't need a really, really huge budget to tell a good story. But I think for the type of story they wanted to tell and the way they wanted to tell it, I think the low budget kind of hindered it a lot. I think they would have probably been better off doing it as an actual found footage film, because some of the stuff in this is just, oh my God. I mean, I'll go into it in a minute, but it's just, oh, it's just ridiculously bad. And yeah, like I already mentioned, like, so some of the acting in this is horrendously bad. There's one scene in particular where there's this girl called Lexi, who I think is meant to be a lesbian. It's kind of certainly heavily implied that she's a lesbian anyway, and that she's tried it on with Megan and Megan wasn't sort of comfortable with it. They're talking about this on a webcam. And yeah, she blames Amy for Megan going missing, and she just shouts at her, but it's just so badly done. It's like, it is awful. If you watch any of the video reviews of this film online, they always point out that one scene. And yeah, it's just so bad. Really, it's just pathetic. I don't know why they didn't just do another take. It's just horrendous. And look, don't get me wrong, I'm not an actor, right? I'm not one of these people who like, oh, the acting was really bad, the dialogue was really bad. Because to me, that's kind of like basic bitch criticism. Like, anyone can kind of say that. It's just like, whatever. It's like banal. But it was particularly bad, which is unfortunate, really, because, like I said, I think the idea of the film is quite admirable. I think it's certainly a good thing to do, I think, to kind of bring light to the fact that these kind of things happen and that children should be kind of wary as to who they talk to online. I mean, in all honesty, I think the character, well, Megan and Amy in particular, come across really badly because there are enough red flags that anyone with any common sense would kind of think, I probably shouldn't talk to this person. I definitely shouldn't meet up with them at all. But yeah, they just kind of ignore all that, which is unfortunate. And yeah, it's, again, comparing it to something like Martyrs. In Martyrs, I haven't seen Martyrs for a very long time, but from what I remember, like, everything that happens to those characters that's bad, it's not necessarily their fault. They just were in the wrong place at the wrong time. It's not their bad decisions that led to kind of their downfall. Whereas in this, really, there's two kind of things in particular where they're both talking to Josh online at different times. There's one sort of bit of the story where Megan has arranged to meet up with Josh at a party, and Josh apparently stood her up. Like I mentioned earlier, when she was, you know, supposed to be angry and she was not doing a very good job of acting angry. But his excuse is like, oh, I was really shy. I mean, she buys this hook, line and sinker. It's like, okay. In real life, a girl would not sort of be happy, relieved to hear that, you know, this dude was so shy that, you know, she would just let him off kind of like from meeting up with her. It's just stupid. And then she's willing to meet up with him again round the back of a diner. I mean, really? I mean, does that not make sense to anyone else? It's just stupid. And yeah, like, once Megan does go missing, Amy and Josh are having like these regular conversations where it's like, should you not be telling the police about this? Should they not be monitoring your computer? You're talking to someone who should be like the prime suspect in this disappearance. Like, what? This is just so stupid. And she just buys this shit hook, line and sinker, like, and just she gets played like a fiddle. It's just absolutely hilarious. So the film, in whilst admirable in its intention, unfortunately the first hour is just really not very well done. And the worst thing about it, just before I kind of move on to kind of why I don't think this is maybe a great date movie at all, is there these news reports. So once Megan goes missing, we have these kind of very cheap looking, very badly done kind of what I think are supposed to be like special report type things that you would get on the news. And you've got this woman with a really, really bad haircut sort of talking in the studio, and it's cutting to this really awful footage. And it's just so badly put together. Like, the quality of the footage is really bad and low quality. Like, it's got a ticker at the bottom and it looks really bad. Like, someone put it together in, like I say, in like PowerPoint or something. Just, it's just so bad. Like, I get what they're going for, absolutely, but it's just, contextually, it doesn't really make sense because none of the other footage relates to it. It's kind of happening like independent of the other footage that's going on in the film, so it just doesn't really work at all. And it looks fucking dreadful as well. I honestly, like, that is without question, like, apart from the acting and some of the dialogue, which, as I say, is very awkward and clearly scripted when it shouldn't be, that is like the worst thing about the film. Like, if they tried to do it a different way, if they had done it literally, like I say, just found footage, it may have come across a lot better. But yeah, unfortunately, just wasn't to be. Yeah, so you've got this really shitty news footage in there as well. So that's kind of what I thought about the film itself in terms of things that I didn't like. I mean, on the plus side, I mean, it's not boring as such. The first half is okay. There's enough there to kind of keep you sort of interested. The sort of second half isn't that great once Megan does go missing, when you're just with Amy. Amy's a bit of a wet lettuce of a character. Like, Megan, at least she has, like, some sort of backstory, and she's a bit more outgoing, and she's slightly more likeable in a weird sort of way, I think, because she's a bit more, like, adventurous as a character. Amy's just a bit, she's just a bit of a sheep, she's a bit of a follower, she doesn't really have her own personality. She kind of idolises Megan for some reason, and yeah, look, there's nothing wrong with her. I think what happens to her in the film, she definitely doesn't really deserve at all. Not by any stretch of the imagination, but it's a bit... There are these scenes cut throughout the second half of the film where Amy's doing like a video diary type thing, where she's just, you know, talking to the cameras, going, this is my house, and this is my mum and my dad and my old cat, and like her going around her town and stuff like that. It's just not really all that interesting. Her character is very thin. I mean, Megan's character is quite thin as well. The characterization in this, as you probably expect, is not great. Essentially, they're both very, very insecure, and they both act it out in different ways. So Megan acts out by sucking people off, clearly, or doing drugs and, yeah, doing all that kind of stuff. Whereas Amy just seems to sort of follow Megan around a lot. Yeah, stuff like that. So... yeah, and the last 20 minutes, which I'll go into in a bit more detail in a minute, they were pretty disturbing in a psychological way. So if you're looking for, like, gore and stuff like that, it's not going to satisfy you in that way. It's all very much played on suggestion rather than what you actually see. It's kind of harrowing in a way. It is very upsetting. When I first watched this, because just a full disclosure, I tried watching and reviewing this film on New Year's Eve while drinking. And yeah, just FYI, sort of drinking and podcasting is not a good idea for anyone who maybe kind of wants to do that in the future. Unless you're like Brian Alvarez and Vincent Verhey and your mates and you work for Wrestling Observer. Yeah, drinking and podcasting is not a good idea. But anyway, the first time I saw it was then... and it didn't really bother me that much, but for a couple of days afterwards, it did kind of come back to me. So it was obviously more affecting than maybe I gave it credit for at the time. Now, in terms of if it's a good or a bad date movie or not, why it might not necessarily be a great date movie, let's talk about those last 20 minutes. So, first of all, imagine you have kidnapped someone and you are planning on doing... very, very unspeakably bad things to them. Would you want to record what you were doing and then just throw it in a public bin afterwards when you know that the police are looking for these two girls? Probably not. It would be my answer. It's not necessarily a great idea to do that. Didn't really make a lot of sense. That's sort of a pretty big plot hole in there. But if we ignore that... yeah, so basically Megan has been kidnapped by this guy, Josh, or whatever his name's meant to be, and then Amy gets kidnapped. And what essentially she's subjected to is she's forcibly imprisoned, she's chained up in this sort of dark, what looks like an underground chamber type thing. She gets force-fed, like, what could be, like, dog food or cat food or something like that, I couldn't tell. She gets raped, and then she gets put in a barrel, and she gets buried alive. Now, that all sounds horrible, and it is. It's, you know, I think what Amber Perkins does in terms of her acting really scared, and obviously, you know, scared that she's going to die, trying to coerce this dude into, like, not killing her and things like that, I think she does pretty well with kind of what she has to do. I mean, she gets raped, but you can't really... you can tell, obviously, that she's being raped, but... at the same time, it's like, well, I have seen a lot worse. And if you go online, you get two very, very weird kind of polarizing opinions of this. So for someone like me, who's seen a lot of kind of exploitation type films, I've seen I Spit in Your Grave, I've seen Last House on the Left, I've seen some pretty, I've seen Irreversible, which has got a very, very protracted rape scene in it. Obviously, this, where you can't really see anything, it's clear what's going on, but you can just see the girl's face. And then her obviously being buried alive. Yeah, it's not as horrendous as it could be, but it's still pretty bad. But interestingly, I was looking at this film online, as you do in my research, because believe it or not, I actually do a lot of research before I do these shows. The Daily Express, which is a newspaper in England, for those of you who don't know, they had a random article about Megan is Missing. And believe it or not, it was quite interesting kind of what they said in there. So did you know that Megan is Missing is banned in New Zealand? Yeah, so clearly those Kiwis are a lot stricter with their censorship than we are here, fuck. So as well as that, you had some apparent reviews or thoughts that people had of the film itself. So the quotes in the article are as follows. "I hate that fucking movie, man. It's so scary and disturbing. It's really the worst thing I've ever seen." Then you've got, "Whoever told me to watch Megan is Missing, fuck the fucking fuck off. I heard about this supposed fucking insane movie called Megan is Missing, but it is triggering as fuck," warned a third. "Seriously, please don't watch if you can't handle the situations. Why did I just put myself through torture watching Megan is Missing? Oh my goodness." Now, I don't know where they got these clips from. Maybe it was Facebook or something like that. But yeah, so as you can see, clearly that end of the scale, maybe it was probably a bit much for some people. Not for me. It was a little bit upsetting, but yeah, as I said, I have seen far worse. And if you are like a hardcore sort of exploitation person, you will not find this disturbing really at all. Like I said, I found it a little bit disturbing. I'm not totally cold and callous. Like, clearly, I don't find the prospect of who is supposed to be like a 14-year-old girl being raped and then sort of put in a barrel with her dead best friend and then buried alive, and she screams for about 10 minutes. That's no fun. That's why I didn't want to watch it with anyone else. You know, that's, yeah, it's no fun whatsoever, is it? Come on now. So, yeah. So, it's pretty upsetting. And yeah, that is definitely, without question, like, the worst aspect of the film. Like, yeah, just the idea of someone who's meant to be 14 having all those different things done to them. And yeah, the way it's done, it's pretty dark and you can't really see what's going on as such for a lot of it. Just kind of grim. Not as grim as some of the other sort of torture porny sort of stuff, because it's weird, this film came out more at the end of the torture porn cycle. Torture porn isn't really a thing anymore. I'm going to do a specific show about torture porn at some point this year, because the whole cycle of films to do with like Hostel and Saw and stuff like that is kind of interesting in a way. So lots of films are out there of women being tied to stuff and having unspeakable things done to them. There's no real violence in this. It's not gory. It's not violent as such. But it's more on a psychological level. It's what you can hear and what you can't see that kind of makes it upsetting. So, yeah. So that's that side of it. But also, there are other aspects of the film that may not necessarily make it a good date movie. So near the beginning of the film, there is a party, which is held by a guy called Ben, where he has got all these drugs, and Megan and her friends are like, yeah, we want to go to this party, and we want to do drugs, etc. This guy charges $10 a head for these people to go to his party. It's kind of, yeah, as you do. And this party, it's fucking ineptly shot. So if you watch any scenes in a well-made movie, what you will expect to hear is when people are in a club, you can hear music, you can hear people talking. You know, it's supposed to give you the impression that it's rammed. Whereas in this, during the party scenes, how it comes across is just, here's some loud music that we've put in the ADR in the background. You can't hear people talking. There's no hustle and bustle going on. The house looks really empty, dark. Clearly what the director seems to have done is, like, for the scenes where people are just in the dark dancing, he's just taken a light and swished the light around and swirled the camera around over and over again like he's Andy Milligan or something like that. It was fucking horrendous. Yeah. awful party scene, one of the worst shot party scenes I've ever seen in my life. But anyway, how it kind of ties into kind of the bad date movie stuff is you've got all these scenes of kind of who are meant to be 14-year-old girls just doing drugs. So, I mean, clearly that's going to bother some people. Now, it's not to the same extent that something like Kids by Larry Clark. Now, something like that clearly is going to be much, much worse. And the acting is a lot more naturalistic and it's more verite, if you like your Ponzi kind of film school kind of language. But yeah, clearly the idea of sort of these kids kind of doing drugs might upset some people, as would maybe kind of a scene where, so Amy's been dragged, not really dragged along, but Megan's like, look, you have, Amy has to come to this party. She has to come to this party, otherwise I'm not going to go. Now, why she would do that, I've no idea, because there's no kind of indicator that Amy would even want to go to a party. None of Megan's other friends like Amy. Amy doesn't even want to go to this party while she's there. She's clearly not having a very good time at all. This creepy-looking guy hits her. Not actually, because you can tell he definitely doesn't hit her. But Amy's trying to find Megan in this house, and then, yeah, she's just... this guy Ben is on a chair, and, like, Megan's sucking his dick for drugs or whatever, I don't know. So that kind of, I don't know, that might bother some people. What will probably bother them even more is literally right after this. So Megan and Amy talk on like these supposed like phone cams or whatever to each other, and there's this long protracted scene of them talking on a cam where Megan is talking about this time where she was 10 years old, that she was at summer camp and she had to suck a guy's dick for the first time. And she talks about it in great detail, literally like technique and everything, and kind of literally graphic detail about this, you know, having this guy's dick in her mouth and what that was like. It's, yeah, ridiculously graphic, more graphic than really anything else in the film in terms of sort of description. So again, the fact that these girls, I mean, admittedly in real life, if these were real people, yeah, she probably would talk about this like it was no big deal. But the fact is, yeah, she got pretty much sexually abused when she was 10 by some 17-year-old guy. Yeah, and it's just, Amy just reacts like it's no big deal or anything like that, which is a weird disconnect, a very, very weird disconnect. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not moralising at this point. I am aware that there are teenagers out there now, pre-teens, where this is actual, it's their life where stuff like this happens. I know this. I mean, I've known people who were very, very young and having sex with guys. Like, it is a real thing that happens. So I'm not, you know, naive about that type of thing. I'm aware that it happens. But at the same time, it's still a bit sort of, I don't know, it's just something about this. I mean, it didn't upset me as much as some people. Some people online I've read this really, really upset them. They found it very sleazy, very exploitative and stuff like that, which I can see, don't get me wrong. But I don't know, it's just, there is something kind of about this that doesn't really make a lot, I don't know, something about this just did kind of bother me a little bit. And then after that, there's a monologue that Megan does. So Amy's got a new camera for her birthday and they're deciding what to do. Oh, let's do this. So Megan's basically talking to the camera and she's talking about, you know, her stepdad abusing her when she was 9, which is like, again, pretty fucking heavy going stuff. So again, if you're the person you're with isn't really into that kind of thing, it may bother them quite a lot. So just basically keep that in mind. So that's pretty much all the stuff that happens in the movie that I kind of wanted to highlight. Now, it's at this point that I should probably do the usual rating and kind of stuff. Now, how I've done it in the past is I've rated the film out of 5. Now, I don't necessarily think that's a good idea now. I've had a bit of a second thought on that. And what I'm going to do instead is, to make it easier, it's just, do I recommend the film or do I not recommend the film? And in this case, I don't really recommend the film. I don't really recommend the film from a purely filmmaking perspective. Like I said, it's not really a very well-made film. There are several issues, like I mentioned, in terms of with the acting. The dialogue is very stilted and doesn't feel very naturalistic. The way the film is made, it's not edited particularly very well. Really, from a filmmaking perspective, it's just pretty poor. Especially the kind of news footage. The news footage is particularly bad. It really, really stands out as bad, really, in anyone. I don't see how anyone could kind of justify it, because for what those scenes are supposed to be, they just don't look very good at all. So from a purely filmmaking perspective, no, it's not a good movie at all. I wouldn't say it's particularly boring. The film's only about 80 minutes. So it's the kind of thing that if you were going to watch it, I doubt it would really waste too much of your time. But, and this is the other side of the coin, if you are like an exploitation fan, this wouldn't really even be recommended for you. There's only really two parts of the film that are in any way kind of bad. There's a scene, which I haven't actually mentioned, believe it or not, where apparently if you follow the story, so in the film, what happens is apparently these two random pictures of Megan just appear on a website, a fetish website. And one of them is a very close-up picture of Megan's face with some metal device holding her mouth open, which is the worst picture of the two by far, because it's so close up. And then a second one, which is of her in what looks like kind of stocks, like a head through this wooden hole, and yeah, she's still got the device in her mouth, and she looks as if she could be topless, but you can't see, but it kind of suggests that she is. And that one wasn't as effective. I think you could have literally just gotten away with just the one shot, it would have been better. Now, apparently, again, that kind of upsets people, as does where you find out what happened to Megan because you see her dead body in a barrel. That apparently also really, really upset people. So, other than that, though, and the whole snuff footage aspect that I mentioned, there isn't really a lot here to recommend from an exploitation perspective. And you will see this kind of thing done better and in more graphic detail, I guess, elsewhere. So I wouldn't recommend it to fans of exploitation. Or found footage, for that matter, because it's not even a very well-done found footage film. Again, if you want to see this kind of thing, again, it's slightly different format, but Unfriended, well, the new Unfriended film, Unfriended Dark Web, is much better than this, as is Searching, but that's a thriller, that's not really a horror film, but yeah. So, overall, not recommended from me. Now, in terms of whether or not it's a good or a bad date movie, kind of sort of giving myself away kind of in this review, but what I will say is on the date movie scale, so 1 to 5, so I'm going to explain this in a little bit more detail because apparently I haven't explained this very well previously. So 1 is like a Netflix and chill, so i.e. it's a good date movie. 2 is it's a little bit awkward, but you'll probably be all right. 3 is it's kind of a bad date movie. I probably wouldn't recommend it, but you might still be all right if you're with the right person. 4 out of 5 is now you're getting on to, you're like, oh, okay, this is a pretty bad date movie. Like, you're probably not going to get any sex at the end of the film, or maybe even during the film. This is kind of bad. And then 5 out of 5 is like, yeah, this is the worst of the worst. Like, unless you're like a sick motherfucker like me, or you're with someone who's really, really into this kind of stuff as well, it's really the worst kind of date movie that you could watch. So you will actually not have sex at all. It will might even scar your date for life. So don't use that one. So anyway, so that's the date movie scale explained a little bit more. Now, Megan is missing. What would I rate this? So it's only got really one or two really kind of disturbing scenes in it. It does kind of have scenes of, like I mentioned, sort of characters who are meant to be underage having sort of sexually explicit conversations. So that might put your date off as well. Also the stuff like characters doing drugs, etc. So overall, I'd probably give it a 3 out of 5. So it's not the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. I probably wouldn't watch this as a date movie, to be honest, because it's got a very bleak ending, So it would definitely kind of put you in a bad mood. Conversely, though, I thought about this before while I was doing the show, and you might be okay as a Netflix and chill if you kind of got bored about 20 minutes in and just kind of, you know, started having sex, because really the worst stuff happens an hour in. So if you kind of just were, you know, not that keen, you weren't that interested, you were kind of losing focus on the film, you might get away with watching this. But yeah, generally I wouldn't recommend watching this as a date movie, not at all. So yeah, like I said, 3 out of 5 on the worst date movie scale. Now, in terms of whether you can buy this on DVD and Blu-ray, from what I can see, you can't buy this on Blu-ray, and the only place that I could see where you could maybe get it on DVD is if you are Region 1, so i.e. America, and you could get it from Anchor Bay. Unfortunately, Anchor Bay don't exist anymore, but that would be the only way that you could get it. So I don't recommend it. I don't think it's a very good film. It's definitely not, well, it's not a good date movie, let's put it that way. But yeah, if you liked the film and you wanted to own it in physical form, then that would be the way to do it. So that has been my review of Megan is Missing. I hope you found it entertaining. If you have any ideas for any movies that you think might be really, really bad date movies that you want to suggest for me to cover in a future episode, you can hit me up on Twitter at Worst Date Movies. That's at Worst Date Movies. And you never know, I may very well decide to cover it on a future episode. So that's it for the show today. My name is Greg Knox. I want to thank you very, very much for listening. If you've listened to all of my previous episodes as well, you have my love and appreciation. And I'll be joined by one of my friends on the very, very next show for more of the worst date movies ever.